start worship. Oh, Lord Jesus, this morning, we remember that your greatest moments of triumph happen on either the back of a donkey's foal, or when you were nailed to a bloody cross, and also when that stone was rolled away to reveal an empty tomb. Lord, we gather to prepare the way for you in our lives and in this world. There's so many people and things that try to call for our allegiance. So many man-made kings seeking to rule over us. But you ride into our hearts as another kind. You ride into our hearts as a different kind of king, a serving king, a humble one, a challenging king who calls us not to slavery but to relationship. There are so many things that seek our energy and our resources for their own sakes. So many man-made kingdoms seeking our souls for their own glory. But Lord, you ride into our hearts proclaiming another kind of kingdom. A kingdom where the least are the greatest. Where the meek inherit the earth. Where children are the best example of trust and understanding. A kingdom which seeks to bring life, not to drain it. There's so many things that draw our attention. Too many realities that seek our faith and our devotion. But you ride into our hearts, revealing another kind of reality. A reality where death doesn't have the last word. A reality where pride, selfishness, evil are defeated by love and self-giving. A reality which does not parade itself for all to see, but fills every moment, every situation, and everything with life. Even while you wait patiently for us to discover it. Lord, as we gather together, you've heard our pleas for your healing, and you've heard our praises for your joyful presence in our days. We give you thanks, Lord. We ask that you would enter our lives, enter our churches, our cities, our countries once again today. Heal us, transform us, renew us. Draw us closer to you in this journey of Holy Week. Empower us with strength and with courage, with the assurance that you're always, always with us. And so, Lord, we cry from our hearts, Hosanna, save us too. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hear us now as we pray in the way that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, as we gather on this Palm Sunday, I'm going to read today from Philippians. This is chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation this morning. If you have a different one, just follow along, and we'll work through this together. So here's what Philippians has to say. It says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let me just pray real quick before we get started here. Loving and gracious God, we are so grateful that you've walked with us through this journey towards this week. We would ask that as we gather here today, you would open our hearts, not only to hear the message, to hear some guy's interpretation of what is happening as we move forward, but that it actually stirs our hearts, that we feel the breeze blow, the sunshine, we feel the dust in the air as Jesus walks in or rides in on the back of a donkey into Jerusalem with people laying down palms, singing his praises, and then help us to also take that walk as we move through the rest of the week when things change. Move our hearts through this season, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. I would wager to say, as we get started here, that most of us who have children, a lot of us have children, that as parents, we know that we sometimes have to limit what we do for our children so that they'll actually learn how to do some things for themselves. I mean the children, not necessarily the parents. And the only way to really mature into any endeavor, anything that we're involved in, is to jump in and metaphorically get our hands dirty. Getting our hands dirty. Getting in there and working things out. That's how we learn. That's how we acquire the skills to function in this world that we spin around on every single day. I think back to when I hired my oldest son to be on one of my construction crews. He didn't want to go to college right out of high school, and I didn't want him just to sit around the house, play video games, and grow mold. So I hired him, and I put him on a crew. And truth be told, he was pretty green when it came to construction work, but truthfully, he was also a pretty good worker. But there was a challenge when I hired him, and that challenge was this. He was the boss's kid. And even though I didn't treat him like he was my kid on the job, the other guys, they treated him a little bit different. And even he himself may have had a slight feeling of entitlement when he first started working with us. I can remember back one day in particular. We were putting up forms for curb. We did a lot of curb and gutter and sidewalks. We did a lot of municipal work. And we were building the forms so that we could pour the concrete curbs. And the base that we had to pound the stakes into was all 3-inch rock. And I don't know if any of you have ever tried to drive a wooden stake into 3-inch rock before. But I can tell you this. It's almost impossible to get those wooden concrete stakes, to the ones that hold the forms up, to get them to drive into the ground straight exactly where you want them so that curb looks good. Well, I had my son working shoulder to shoulder with the guys building these forms, and he was struggling to get them stakes to pound into the ground, get them nice and straight. And at one point, he got so frustrated that he walked away. He threw down his tools and he walked away, walked towards me, and he screamed at me. My son yelled at me, and he informed me that it was absolutely impossible to do this. And what he really wanted is he expected me to do it for him. Well, I know I've only been here a few months at Backroads Church, but a few of you may have experienced the way I can react to a situation like that. Glory be to God that I'm way better today than I was back then when I was still on the construction crews. So when my son screamed at me and told me I needed to do it for him, I had a little chat with my beloved son and explained to him that the guys that he was working right next to, they were getting the job done. And I let him know that he had a very simple choice to make. He could learn how to drive those stakes in the ground, or he could just go find another place to work. You see, the bottom line is this. I could not allow him to use his privilege as the boss's kid to get out of doing the hard work. He needed to learn. He needed to struggle a little bit, and maybe even he needed to ask for some help. I didn't do it for him. But what I did have to do for him was to show him enough grace where he was able to have the opportunity to mature, to grow into his position. And oh, thank God that he did. That's exactly what he did. He grew. He humbled himself. He asked those guys that he was working with to teach him. He needed to know what they knew. And he asked them, and they did. They taught him, and he learned. And because of that humbleness, it turned out that the crew found a new respect for him. They also had a new respect for me, too. And I think that experience made him a better crew member, me a better boss, a better leader, a better parent, because I didn't give in to the urge to do it for him. And as a result, we all became a better crew together. It was a great learning exercise for all of us. And I think we all, the whole crew, matured a little bit that day. Now, I say all that so that I could set up this. One of the consistent themes in the Bible is the idea that God is like a loving parent to us. And as a parent, there are times that it seems like God limits his divine action in creation as a way to help us mature into our faith too. Our passage today speaks of Christ emptying himself and taking on the form of a slave. The Apostle Paul encourages us to have that same attitude as well. Look at the examples that we have. Jesus could have done things so differently. God could have, really, he could have just snapped his fingers, started all over. You see, they both had the power to just speak a word and change the course of history forever. But that wasn't the mission. That wasn't God's mission. The mission was to make a way for us to be saved. And then for us to learn how to share that good news with others. And to accomplish that mission, God chose to give up all the power to save us. God became a slave to us. Listen to these words again. Though he was God, he didn't think of equity or equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privilege. He took the humble position, a slave, and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, and he died a criminal's death on a cross. He humbled himself in obedience to God. When we were young, we obeyed our parents. Well, sometimes we obeyed our parents. I know that I stretched that boundary more than a few times. And now I wonder, as we grow in our faith, and we look to God as a parental figure, are we still stretching the boundaries of obedience there too? Have we really thought through what that must mean? If God is like a loving parent who has all the hopes and all the dreams that parents have, if God wants us to mature, if God wants us to be able to live in this world as faithful adults, would He do everything for us? Or would He give us the opportunity to see how the world functions and then help us see how we're called to mature to the point where we can be of service to God's mission in this world? So I guess my question for you is, do you think you can mature if someone else does everything for you? Or do you mature when you have some control for yourself? When you have a little skin in the game? Even if that means you're going to make some mistakes along that path of learning. That's how I see God working in my own life. That's how I see God working in your lives. Things happen in the world every day without God intervening at every single moment. Things happen for our benefit. We have the capacity to learn from. When they happen for our benefit, we have the capacity to learn from them, to become smarter, more mature. We learn that if the weather turns cold, we need to put on our coat. We learn that if we eat peanuts and we can't breathe afterwards, we don't eat peanuts again. That's part of how we mature. Now, while God is always active in the world, God doesn't force His creation to do things that would stifle our will to choose. God has never exploited the privilege of omnipotence. God came to us as a baby. God came to experience life in the way that we do, with the weaknesses and the emotions and the drama that we deal with every single day. God gave up everything except His mission to redeem us. Jesus has always been, and until He returns, will always be the perfect model for how we are able to carry on the mission that He left us with. As Christians, we're expected to learn. We're expected to struggle. It's known that we're going to make some mistakes along the way while we're maturing into our mission. That's how we become mature citizens. We learn, we grow, we mature. We want others to experience the peace that we feel as Christians. And sharing that peace, that becomes our combined mission with God. So I'm sure you're wondering what the heck any of this has to do with Palm Sunday. I'm sure you're wondering why we're holding these palms and talking about our maturity level. Because this passage speaks to what we're about to experience in this next week. We're kicking off Holy Week. And it starts today with Jesus triumphantly entering Jerusalem in a parade. But the truth is, this coming week is the culmination of Jesus' mission. The mission to set us free from our sin and offer us eternal life. We follow Jesus from birth to His baptism to the temptation in the wilderness. We've heard the stories of his miracles, healing people, feeding thousands, teaching. We've walked with Jesus as the religious and political leaders feared him and they plotted against him. And now, here we are with him as he enters the final stage of his earthly mission. He's grown. He's matured. And now he faces the toughest test of his life. And we're going to witness firsthand how far he was willing to empty himself for our benefit. He'll give up everything, offering himself as a slave and facing the cross in servitude to you and me. Our attention for the next few days is drawn inevitably to the cross. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That was the ultimate mission for our salvation. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. But friends, the meaning of the cross goes even deeper. This mission of salvation is not God's plan B. It's not just a shot in the dark. Not just some kind of a clever maneuver that God came up with to deal with in a crisis situation. You see, by refusing to cling to divine privilege, by willfully denying himself and taking the form of a servant, the Son of God shows us the actual heart of God. By revealing himself at our level, Jesus shows us what God is really like. Think about it. What does God get out of this? It'd be so simple for God to show up. Give us all the stuff that we'd like in this world. He could make us rich with those worldly trinkets. But would we be truly happy? More importantly, is that what God wants from us? Is that what he really wants for us? I don't think so. I think God has always been looking to be in relationship with us. Not so much to lord over us. The true God, genuinely, is a God willing to go down even into death in order to prove his faithfulness to his word and his mission. And that mission has always been to redeem his creation. Redeem us so that God can dwell among us and be with us. Isn't that the hope of everyone here today? Are we not here trying to mature into that same mission so that we can share eternity with God just as he created us? That's what I believe God is expecting from us. God knows that we're going to make some mistakes along the way, and yet God loves us so much that he sent his Son as our proxy to pay the cost himself for our fall. Friends, that should be a hard lesson to learn. A tough reality for us to shoulder. But it's also part of maturing that we need to do to be faithful witnesses for Jesus. I'll be honest with you. It hurt my heart that day to break my kid's spirit in front of those guys and remind them that we are all the same on that crew. While he was complaining about swinging that hammer, I wore my tool belt and I swung that 12-pound steak maul every single day just like he did. I beat those stakes into the ground just like we all did. And my son saw that. My crew saw that. And my son matured and became part of a team that day. He went on to different things in his life. And now he's a fireman and a paramedic. And quite honestly, he saved many, many lives. And he did that by letting go of any status or privilege that he inherited or that he thought he deserved. And he learned. He matured into being a servant. How many lives could be changed? How many lives could be saved? If we too can find the courage to follow Jesus' example and always, always be maturing into our mission. To God be the glory. Amen. Let me close in prayer today. Gracious and loving God, we come before you with humble hearts, mindful of the example of your Son, Jesus Christ. Though he was equal with you, he didn't cling to privilege, but he emptied himself in love for the sake of this world. As we reflect on his humility and his obedience, we ask that you would shape our hearts to be more like his, Lord. Continue to mature us in our faith. Lord, teach us to let go of pride and comfort and entitlement so that we may take up the mission that you've given to us. Help us to become servants in the way that Christ served, loving others, lifting the broken, and sharing the hope of your salvation with a world that's desperately in need of it. Lord, today we also bring you these gifts, our offerings, the gifts of your people. And we dedicate these offerings to your work and to your kingdom. Lord, we would ask that you would bless these gifts and each person who gave them. Multiply them so that this church may continue to be a place where lives are changed, where hope is shared, and your love is made known in our community and beyond. Help us, one of us, through the giving of our gifts, to mature into faithful disciples. Use our gifts, Lord, but also use our hands and our voices and our lives. May we not only give from our resources, but from our very selves as we continue maturing into the mission that you have placed before us. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, who humbled himself for our sake and who reigns as Lord of all. Amen.